All right, friends, I am back with you. This is Peggy Hall from thehealthyamerican.org. This is part two of my interview with Laura Hayes. And she has been on the front lines fighting for your rights, for the rights of everyone to keep their sovereignty over their body, to have the right to their own medical decisions and responsibilities. Really, we are not responsible for anyone else, and we are going to be talking about that. So Laura Hayes writes and speaks about the importance of healthcare and medical choice freedom and parental rights. And you know that they are trying to take away our parental rights and give them over to the government. Laura has been outspoken for many years regarding the urgent need to immediately get rid of these cocktail requirements, to enact a moratorium on each and every shot that these children are being forced to have. And she speaks about repealing this 1986, it's called the Act, which was the legend, that was actually the law that gave these manufacturers of the cocktails pretty much free rein so that they would not be held liable. Not only would they not be held liable, but the doctors and nurses that are injecting them would not be held liable as well. It's like a giant Ponzi scheme. She has been speaking out about fully restoring individual and parental rights with regard to healthcare and medical decision making without any government interference. I know you are applauding, and I hope that you watched part one. I will have that linked for you below. Laura speaks and writes on these topics very widely. And we spoke about her story and the horrible child abuse that is perpetrated upon the most vulnerable in the name of medicine. And what we're going to be talking about now is the whole concept of public health and how there's no such thing as public health, how they're using that against us to control us. And then talking about also, because it's on everyone's minds, going forward after this hogwash is receding slightly, how can we and what should we do to make sure that no government and no agency and no public health officer and no school and no employer and no medical worker can require you to become a human pincushion against your will? So Laura, that was a long introduction, but I'm so glad that we have time here for part two of our interview.
Absolutely.
And let's just dive in. And I would like to talk about what you were thinking in the 2 weeks to slow the spread. You probably saw this train on the tracks for many years. What were you thinking?
It's why we sped up our moving to Virginia date. I told my husband, we need to go while we can. They're gonna start locking down these airports. So for many years, I and many others in the health freedom movement have warned it's the mandates and requirements are spreading. It's not just for public school, and it's not just for children. Now it's for daycare. Now, in some instances, it's for teachers. It's for nurses. It's for college students now, all of a sudden. It's for a growing number of occupations. Even if your work takes you into a hospital, you might not know this, if you go to fix the elevator in a hospital, you have to have proof of your vaccinations. So a growing number of occupations are now required to have multiple vaccines. My daughter wanted to be a nurse, and she would have been the nurse you wanted if you ever had to be at the hospital. But due to the vaccine requirements, not necessarily of the nursing school, she might have been able to find one that she could just go by whatever the state law was. But we were told by multiple nursing schools, when you go to do the training in the hospital, that's where she's going to have the vaccine. So even if we say she doesn't, ask the school, there's no hospital that we work with where she would be required to do training, where she would not be required to get vaccinated.
And let me just say, Laura, this is exactly where these evildoers are going. They are going after the vulnerable young adults who have their careers, their life ahead of them, whether they're going to college, nursing school, into the military, and they see what's ahead of them. And it's the government and these employers are holding the carrot saying, come on, come on. All you need to do is become a human pincushion. My husband and I have worked with so many of these individuals in the medical settings, And that's exactly what they say. Oh, the nursing program isn't the problem. It, you know, we don't have any problem. We're not discriminating against you. It's the clinical science. And it has been a tooth and nail fight. There have been some successes where the students have had to find a clinical site with, that would allow them to honor their bodies and their choices and to not undergo these egregious, unethical, coercive, discriminatory tactics. But so many of these young adults, they'll either change their profession. And I also believe that this is one of the other nefarious agendas that they have, is they do not want ethical, moral people of faith to be in the medical settings. They only want the order followers. They only want the ones that are going to be gung-ho about the human pincushions. They don't want the critical thinkers that are going to say, "Oh, this doesn't sound right for me." So they want to eliminate those, that portion of our society.
Those who will push back.
That's right. From education, from the medical field, from the military.
I agree.
And the good news is there are alternative types of healthcare establishments that are being created. And I think more will happen in our lifestyle, in our lifetime. I forgot to mention to the viewers, if you did not see part one, Laura is also the parent to a vaccine damaged, injured young adult now. And she noticed that things weren't going right with her children when they were young. So at a very early stage in their life, she started to speak out against this. She's been on the front lines of the battle for many, many years with a lot of successes in terms of speaking, educating, encouraging parents to stand up against this, to follow their maternal and paternal instincts and to protect their children. So I just want to get that out in this part two. But let's pick up the conversation in terms of the reason why these entities, the medical settings, the schools, the employers, the healthcare, the, as I mentioned,
elder care,
daycare. Now, they say this because if you're not wearing the raincoat, everybody else gets wet. And that is under the guise of public health. So if you have a headache, Laura, I should take aspirin because it's my responsibility to get rid of your headache.
Or how is my taking medicine going to make your medicine work better?
And this has been the ruse that they've used from day one, which is why it is so important that we help people understand that public health doesn't exist the way that we've been told. There's public sanitation. We obviously want clean water. We want clean air. We want to make sure that, you know, the trash is picked up twice a week. But that is a far cry from an individual being responsible for someone else's health, unless, of course, it's a parent and a child. We're speaking about independent, well, the parent is responsible for the child's health, not the government and not someone else. Let me know your perspective about this public health ruse, why it is such a powerful tool of the enemy, and what we can do to shut that down.
Well, first, I want to comment back on what you said. They continue to shift the goalposts. So vaccines originally were to protect you, the recipient. And when that stopped working, well, it's to protect those around you. You're selfish. We can't get you to do it for yourself anymore. So now you need to do it for those around you. And then they taught the people around you to fear you if you didn't do that for them. So first, do it for yourself. That argument didn't work long enough. Now you need to do it for those around you. That stopped working. Now you need to do it for the immune compromised. And why don't we all ask why we have so many immune compromised people in the first place? They're immune compromised because of the vaccinations in many cases. Okay, now if you won't do it for yourself or those around you or the immune compromised, how about you're going to kill grandma? You know, they keep having to move the goalpost because people really don't want this stuff in many cases. And then your question, remind me which one you wanted to be there.
Well, this concept.
Oh, the public health. So public health. That is something they've slipped into the vernacular. It has no basis in reality. There's no such thing as public health. As you mentioned, there's public sanitation, which leads to individual health. There are things like public safety measures, such as ensuring that bridges are safe and ensuring that criminals stay behind bars. There are measures like building codes and inspections, and those result in a healthier person if the built bridge doesn't collapse while you're on it, etc. But health, there's no such thing as public health. Health is individual. And one thing that's really important is if we could go back to that, where people take ownership of their own health and the health of their children and families. And you're allowed to think, question, and utilize common sense, because then what happens is you start seeing what works and what doesn't. Geez, my children are grumpy when I let them stay up till midnight. We're not going to do that anymore. My children don't feel well and behave well when I feed them a high sugar Frosted Flakes diet. I'm going to research and find out what a healthy diet is for a child. My children, when they get a fever, do fine when I keep them home from school. I don't drug them so they can go to school, so I can either go play tennis or go to my job or whatever. I actually keep them home and love them and take care and nurture them. It's such an important bonding time. And I let their fever run. I do some research about the importance of letting the fever run and how to keep them comfortable and hydrated. And by goodness, if they're not better in a couple of days. I learn not to be afraid of all the illnesses that they have taught us to fear. And believe you me, you would rather have your child have 2 weeks of the chicken pox or 2 weeks of the measles than a lifetime of autism or seizure disorder
or paralysis.
So, yes. You know, you've traded these minor immune building, maturing body maturation illnesses for that which will destroy your child's mind, body, and possibly life. And it's crazy. Again, we're not thinking. So if people go back to taking charge of their own health and that of their children, they learn what works and they continue it. And they might research more and find more and better things that work. They learn to avoid that which doesn't work or which they've learned is dangerous. And they learn things they want to avoid completely. I'm not going to spray Roundup in my yard. I read way too much about glyphosate and how awful that is. And boy, if you read my Why Is This Legal presentation, you'd learn why you're never going to allow a vaccine into your child. So, but taking charge. And if you, if vaccines, if there's never a moratorium on them, if they're still on the market, if you are pro-vaccine, go get all the vaccines you want and then some. And if they work, you should feel protected. And if they don't work, if you're worried that I don't have my vaccines, then you know at some level you've been duped. Your vaccine either works or it doesn't. My taking a vaccine does not make your vaccine work better. So if you want to maintain the illusion that vaccines are good and needed and safe and effective and all those things, and they're still on the market, please go get as many as you want. Then you should feel very protected if they work. And if they don't work, don't come after me to ask me to poison myself or poison my children. Go to the manufacturers and say, this thing isn't working. I've gotten this and got my kid the pertussis vaccine 5 times by age 5. And guess what? They got pertussis.
The whole concept.
All the time.
You have
the
to get it every month.
California,
yeah.
You know, I've written about it in my presentations. It was my first presentation. You know, epidemic after epidemic in California, it was among the vaccinated. And you get 5 by 5. And if vaccines work, why do you need 5? Five by five. Why do you need boosters? Why are they continually adding boosters? Oh, we found out this doesn't work, or it doesn't work against this or that. It's just, like you said, it's this, I forget the term you use, but it's this proxy or Ponzi scheme. You know,
and
the more you get, then the more other illnesses you get. Then you're at the doctor for this, that, and the other, because these things make you sick. But we need to go back to taking charge. A great book is by the late Dr. Robert Mendelsohn in the 1980s, who wrote How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. And he's been outspoken against the medical industry and doctors and vaccines for his career. And that book is a great one. If you know someone who's pregnant, give them that book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. It has common sense parenting and tells you the very, very, very few times that you actually do need to take your child to a doctor, and tells you what to do when they have other symptoms, how you can nurse them back to health at home.
I'll put a link for that book, and I will put a link for your presentations. So friends, this information is so powerful to share with others. And the person who's occupying the White House tried to enforce this upon adults. And it's stunning to me because so many of the adults that actually had their children injected all these years, when it came to them, they said, oh no, I don't want any part of this. And they, many of them came to me and my husband for assistance in pushing back against their employer. And the good news is that it opened their eyes to what was happening with their children. And some of these were young adults. I had a number of pregnant moms to be that were very concerned about what would happen in the hospital. So I do believe that the serpents were pushing so hard on this that it is backfiring and many people are waking up. So lawsuits went against Biden, went against his illegal mandates, mm-hmm. and many people breathed a sigh of relief. But as we go forward, I would like to have a list of questions related to this that we need to have these candidates face and answer honestly. So Laura, what are some that need to come out? What are some of these issues that need to come out for all of the candidates to address directly?
Well, what's interesting is you could ask any candidate, including I think every current candidate and even possible candidate, do you support the banning of vaccine mandates? And I don't think you're going to find one candidate who will answer yes. And to me, that is just such a problem. But at a bare minimum, we must ban the mandates. If you cannot opt out, unfettered personal choice is the only way you can protect yourself and your child from the known harms and the as yet to be known harms and dangers of vaccines. And that's your job. It is your job to protect your own health and that of your children. And you can't do that in the presence of mandates. You can't have informed consent in the presence of mandates. If you are forced to do something, there's no point in that. And they don't even make a point of having informed consent, because when you don't have a choice, there is no informed consent. Informed consent involves two things: a doctor giving you information, which at this point, any information they give you about vaccines is nothing other than personal opinion, because proper studies have never been done. So they're going to give you their personal opinion, and people need to remember that. It's whatever garbage they were taught at medical school or from their pharma reps. And then you need, the second part of informed consent is to give permission. Well, none of that happens in the presence of mandates. You also can't have medical mandates in an ethical and free society. First of all, obviously the free part is obvious. You're not free if someone's telling you have to inject this into yourself or your child. And ethical, it's not ethical for anyone to force you or your children to be injected with the heinous ingredients we know are in there. But one other thing we haven't covered yet, they are allowed to have as many undisclosed ingredients as they want. There are many undisclosed ingredients under the guise of trade secrets and generally recognized as safe. So they don't even have to disclose. And even if they did, is there one pharmaceutical company that we can trust? No. Okay. They've had billion-dollar lawsuits against them. And those are the ones that we even know about that they've lost. And half the time, if not more than half the time, they probably get off on criminal charges. So anyway, we just,
It's quite overwhelming. And this is the question that I have for every candidate as well.
That was the first question. Yeah. Do you support the banning of vaccine mandates? Do you support the immediate repeal of the 1986 Act? No industry, and especially the pharmaceutical industry, but no industry should be indemnified and be liability free. That's insane. You know, how would you like that for your car company? They give you a car that they knew the engine was bad. Your family blows up and dies and you want them to not be liable. Well, the pharmaceutical companies and those who administer vaccines need to have their liability restored to them. And then the third thing is to ask the candidates, do you support an individual and a parent's right to make any and all healthcare and medical decisions for themselves and their families and their children without any government interference, coercion, cost, or penalty? And those to me seem so basic. If you can't, especially living in America, it should be, of course, I don't support vaccine mandates or any medical mandates. Of course, I support an individual and a parent's rights to make any and all healthcare and medical decisions for themselves and their families. And yes, the government has no business in that. And of course, we need to repeal this act and restore liability. And do you know how that act came about? Are you familiar with the 1986 act?
Well, I know it was under Reagan, and I did see the movie about it, but refresh my memory.
Yeah, so that act came about because vaccine companies were pharmaceutical companies that made vaccines were pulling out of the market. They were losing so many lawsuits due to the harm and deaths that were being caused by their vaccines. And a few of them, the few remaining, it was literally less than a handful, went to Congress and whined and complained and said, we're going to stop making vaccines. It's not, you know, we're losing lawsuits. Our bottom line, our PR is suffering. Our bottom line is suffering. And their lobbyists, I'm sure it was their paid lobbyists, and I'm sure there are a lot of money changing hands, got Congress to agree to indemnify them. Of all times, that should have been the time where Congress said, no, if you're losing that many lawsuits because your products are harming and killing people, including children, no, you need to go back to the drawing board. And yeah, maybe we just need to eliminate that whole class of products. But the very time when they should have done the opposite, they should have said, you know, maybe we need to put a moratorium on these products. If these products are supposed to be prophylactic, preventative, not harmful and deadly. Let's remember that they're given to healthy people and they make healthy people sick and dead. It's not like a medicine you're taking because you're on your last leg and you're hoping this will save you. This is given to healthy, robust, vibrant people. And what's interesting about the whole last 3 years is that adults are dying right and left, and adults can also self-report. They've loved having this whole baby population because babies can't talk. Oh. They can cry, they can diarrhea, they can scream, they cannot sleep. Talk about sleep disorders. These kids don't sleep after these injections. So many sleep disorders in children now. But that's their only means of communicating. So you call the doctor and you say, my child's been screaming for 2 weeks. Or my child doesn't sleep anymore. We have to drive him around all night to try to get him to sleep. Could it possibly be those 7 shots you gave him last week? Absolutely not. Every time, it's absolutely not. But again, this is where we go back. Maternal instincts, common sense. Look at the timeline. When did your child stop pooping? When did your child stop sleeping? When did your child start crying all the time? When did your child start tantruming all the time? When were they not interested in eating? Whatever it is, whatever the new symptoms, whatever the new strange behaviors or the loss of skills, go back and look at their vaccine records.
It's so troubling, Laura, because as we talked about in our part one video, parents have been coerced. They've really been pushed in our society to trust doctors and to not question them. And I know people personally who had a child that was damaged this way. And then they just were told, oh no, our son just suddenly at the age of 2 just suddenly started having seizures. It's this brain lesion that was not caught previously. And it's so heartbreaking, not only because of the devastation to the child, but the parents are unable to face reality. They cannot, or they feel that they are unable to face their culpability in that. They cannot face that, the fact that it was their actions that resulted in this. And as a parent,
genetic, I've heard so many people, you know, the high schooler goes in to get a slew of vaccines for high school, and all of a sudden they start having some paralysis. Oh, it's a genetic condition that's just manifesting itself. I mean, there are myriad excuses yeah, that the doctors can and do give that parents, unfortunately, seem all too happy to buy instead of looking at cause and effect.
Right.
Got these injections, and a short while later,
yeah,
their health declined, or in the case of a younger child, their development stopped or regressed. That's not normal. Childhood is a progressive, a move forward. Yes. Every day, new words, new skills, new language. This standstill, or how many times are we seeing like 4 and 5 year olds in diapers? I saw one again this past weekend, and not able to answer basic questions when you interact with them, like in an elevator, like, hi, what's your name? Oh, is that I like your basketball. And they just deadpan. They don't communicate, and they're wearing the diaper. And it's like, this is not normal.
No, it's not normal at all. And as we are moving into this phase now of this societal trauma that has been foisted upon us over the last few years, the fear that people lived in, so many, even those that actually believe in freedom and kind of know that all of this is hogwash, many of them went along and became human pincushions because, well, I had to. And, you know, I didn't want to take a chance. And I'm around children. I've got an elderly grandparent. And they went along with it anyway. And it's so devastating to hear that. So, friends, this is the time to stand up for yourself, to learn from Laura, to learn from all of her research, her studies, her speaking engagements, her blog posts. She writes and speaks about this very articulately, and I would love for you to share this information with parents and grandparents, with everyone that needs to know it. And as we go into these elections, do not allow these candidates to say, well, that's not a topic I'm going to speak about. I'll speak about that once I'm elected. I am against mandates unless these cocktails are safe and effective. As we finish up, Laura, what is your take on this whole concept of unless they're safe and effective? Is there some sort of magic medicine that's okay if the government forces us to take?
Yeah, there can be no caveats. There cannot be until the CDC cleans up its act, or until we need more studies, we need more time. In the meantime, we're going to keep giving them to you, but just give us more time, give us some more tax money so we can do some more studies. We, you know, even if they say we need more studies, no, we don't. There
exactly.
are plenty of studies out there that are very valid and very damning. And we don't need studies. We have personal and parental reports by the millions. And those are the most important. You know, if I told you that, if you're the doctor and I come in and say, my child hurt his arm. He fell out of the tree. He was climbing the tree and he fell out. I need you to look at his arm. The doctor would say, okay, sounds good. If I took in my child and had red rash all over and I said, oh, she ate strawberries today. What do you think? Is that a food allergy? Would believe me, child ate strawberries, got a rash. Any number of things, you know, cause effect, but you take your child in, you say, doctor, brought my child into you last week. You gave him 7 vaccines. They now are kind of comatose. They've been shrieking this horrible scream I've never heard. They're going rigid for 45 minutes at a time. They're not talking anymore. They're not looking at us. They're not responding to their name. I think it was the vaccines. No, it wasn't. Vaccines are safe and effective. So they're, like you said, even if it is safe and effective, but even when we bring proof after proof after proof that they're not safe, that they are not safe, it's still dismissed, ignored, maligned. And I'm sick of also hearing about, like, we need a vaccine safety commission. We need to stop putting those two words together.
Thank you.
Dangers, vaccine dangers commission.
Exactly.
And in the interim, we don't keep doing this. We're admitting we haven't studied them properly. So we don't keep doing it. We put an immediate moratorium, and we know they're dangerous because what do we have? We have the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. We have VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. We have the VICP, Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. We have the table, vaccine injury table for things that will be covered in the VICP. So we've already admitted we have the 2011 Supreme Court again called them unavoidably unsafe. We have the liability shield because we know they're going to harm and kill. So we've made these companies who had some really good lobbyists who paid off some big amounts to get people to vote their way to indemnify them. It is just, they're not safe. They're admitted to not be safe all the time. People should open up a vaccine package insert. They're about this big with font that you'll need, you know, a very high power magnifying glass to read page after page of stuff that they actually admit. That they actually admit both. And that's pre-licensure oftentimes. And then there's some post-licensure. In my first presentation, I go over just the hepatitis B vaccine, Merck's Recombavax. hepatitis B vaccine and just what came in post-licensure. And yet they still, and pre-licensure, it was tested for, I can't remember if it was 4 or 5 days on 147 children. The window of testing was, you know, observation was 4 or 5 days, and horrible things happened to these babies, and it was approved. This is the science. And I have people that I know that I see regularly who one spouse understands and they're trying to convince the other spouse, but the other spouse is often in the health field industry, which I just call death fair industry, but we'll call it the medical field. Right. And their spouse will not listen to them because they know the hospital tells them it's safe and their medical school told them it was safe and they're not going to listen to these quacks. And if the person's not a doctor,
that's right.
You know, like your friend, Laura, I'm not listening to her. Is she an MD? Okay. Well, Laura knows nothing.
Right.
You know, the irony is just like all these people challenging Hotez to a debate. I have challenged people to a debate. I don't need to be an MD to out-talk you on vaccines. And I'll take on any MD. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely. Yeah.
We parents, especially of vaccine injured children, have made it our business to know what it was we unfortunately allowed to be done to our children. So we've actually studied this stuff that the doctors don't. And in med school, they have 2 hours of training on vaccines. And it's not about what's in them or what to watch for or how they've never been studied or the corruption that underlies them from manufacture to mandate and beyond. No, they learn about how and where do you jab. Let's say it's a catch-up appointment. How do you get 13 shots via 7 or 8 needles? Which limbs do you use? And then when you think too about like all the transportation protocol, like the different temperatures that they need to be transported and maintained at, and then you look at the people working at the doctor's offices, and just even that should give people pause. Like, you know, I always think back to the nurses who grabbed my little infants and weighed them, and I'm like, these people were not the pictures of health. They were severely overweight, unhappy, grumpy people. I'm just reporting the truth.
Yeah.
And they adhere. And I was thinking in hindsight, like, they wouldn't shake the vials either. The shots would be out on the tray when you walked in and they're supposed to be shaken right before. They wouldn't do that. They just grab them off the tray. And so just all the little things that are supposed to happen. If you start reading the instructions too on those inserts about how to administer them, you know, do it this way, roll it like this. Don't shake it hard. You know, who reads all that? No one. Don't tell me these nurses and doctors for the 100 different vaccines that they give in any given week know the different protocols for all these different vaccines. So even that part, I'm always trying to find something to appeal to people. But the hardest ones are the people who are in the medical field. And I just feel for the people where one spouse has figured it out and they can't convince the other spouse.
Well, so, in that case, you know, really delaying, I think that's a really good tactic. I had that also with the cooties cocktail where there was one spouse that really wanted to do it. And my recommendation was just first start on the delay.
Yes.
Like, okay, well, let's put that off. Are you okay with that? And
yes.
Then it's not so much of a tug of war. What I found a lot was with the divorced parents, that was really, really tricky. They had a 50% authority over their medical decisions. And that was really, really heartbreaking. So there were success stories in let's delay. It doesn't have to be done right away. And I want everyone to think about this. As Laura was saying, there's no such thing as safe. And it never can be proven safe. And even if it could, think about the horrible conditions that require that. You're going to take an infant, and you, the parent, are going to put this infant, a healthy baby, into a trial for money to see whether or not it's going to be injected and whether or not it will be damaged.
Yeah.
You want to be experimented on your own body, go do it. For this vulnerable, innocent baby, I could never understand, other than those people that were brainwashed and were paid, or they were being forced or coerced in third world countries where they didn't know any better and they needed their bowl of rice or something. Who in their right mind, and I guess it's part of the problem, they're not in their right mind, would allow their infant to be a part of these trials? It is stomach turning. So when I hear politicians say, or those who want to be politicians say, we need more tests. We need more placebo, Well, who exactly are these guinea pigs?
Yes,
Do you want to line up and have that done?
Yeah, which infant should be sacrificed?
And exactly, it turns my stomach.
And back, you know, not that long ago, and in this country, including in the 1990s, you know, they would go into these institutions of the disabled or handicapped or neglected, abandoned children, and use them as though they're discards, and it's okay to do
that. Guinea pigs.
I always wonder. No one should have this, and I don't think animals should have it tested on them.
No,
either.
Not at all. That's a whole nother topic.
But here's the other thing:
like,
there's nothing in a vaccine that your body needs. There are no nutrients. It's not a food. And our bodies need nothing other than food and liquids that are
high quality. Right. Exactly.
That are food to be put in. Our bodies don't need heavy metals. They don't need formaldehyde. They don't need detergents. They don't need poisons. They don't need these things that we don't even know what they mean. They don't need antifreeze. That's for your blood.
How about this, Laura? If people are so worried that their child is going to get the measles or an adult is going to get cooties, but you're going to have that injected into your body, you don't want to be exposed to anybody who has it because your body won't be able to fight it off, but it will be able to fight something off that was actually introduced into your system rather than just getting it naturally and normally. We spoke about in part one,
bypassing all the first parts of our God-given immune system.
Exactly. And there have been doctors that have spoken out saying it is possible that those childhood diseases are actually preventative down the road so that you don't get the cancers and the diabetes and everything else because your body has been primed. It's like working out. It's gotten stronger. Now, I want to mention one other thing as we wrap up. Let's say that there are guinea pigs. Let's say that there are adults who say, you know what? I would like to get $500 to be a part of this trial. And I'm willing to put my life on the line because I want that money. And I think I want to do something for science. Mm-hmm. All right. Two people, one gets the cocktail, one doesn't. They both don't get sick. What conclusion do you draw? Mm-hmm. One gets the cocktail, one doesn't. And let's see, they both get sick or they both don't get sick. You can never draw a conclusion. It is not possible to draw any conclusion based on what was injected unless there is damage to the one that was injected and the other isn't. But in terms of preventing...
And then they deny that.
Yeah. And in terms of preventing illness, if any one of those MDs can explain me how you could have any verifiable data, because it just eludes me. It is not possible. All right. I don't get injected and I have not been sick in years. So I have not been injected. So then there's a person who gets injected and has not been sick for years. Yes. And the conclusion is, because I don't get them and I'm not sick. So I just want everyone to understand this. When you hear many prominent people in the health freedom movement talk about, as you said, they should never put those words together.
Vaccine and safety.
They just don't go together. All right. When I hear about these new, you know, groups that are forming for more studies, friends, that should make you scratch your head. That should raise some red flags. It's not about safety and efficacy. It is about your right of no consent and your right to your own medical choices, period. You want to go off and do that, as you said.
Those are distractions. We don't need
complete
more studies.
Distractions.
We don't need more studies. And if people want to go do them, that's fine. But that is separate from the rights issue. We have got to ban the mandates, restore individual and parental rights, and eliminate and repeal that 1986 act. And any candidate who is not able to answer those in the correct way, yes, I'm for banning the mandates. Yes, I'm for restoring individual and parental rights. And yes, I'm for repealing that 1986 act. Anyone who has to even think, who can't answer correctly, unequivocally, should not get your vote. The problem is I don't think there's currently one candidate who would answer those three questions in the
That's
way
right.
they need to be answered.
They're going to answer it by saying many lives have been saved.
Yes.
Really? Can you also produce that evidence?
Yes.
How do you, it's the same thing with all of these, you know, the shutdowns and the suffocation devices. How exactly did you draw that conclusion? It's possible that whatever we went through, we would have gotten through faster if society had been continuing as it always has been. There is no way to prove that. So friends, I know that you are critical thinkers. We are going to wrap up here, Laura. I would love to have you back. So friends, Laura Hayes, she's been on the front lines fighting this. She is a concerned mom who has been through these vaccine injuries with her children. She is a leading writer and speaker on the topic, and I will have links for you below. So Laura, stick with me for one moment as we wrap up here. Friends, be sure that you share this video and you share the links to the articles, to the videos, and to that book as well. I am all about solutions, and I'm so grateful to have you here on board.